Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast. This one is brought to you by the same people it's always brought to you by, Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. What's going on? It's a balmy Wednesday here. It's April 29th, 2026. Yesterday, actually, for those of you who are going to catch the podcast or maybe watch the streams at all, yesterday was my affiliate anniversary with Twitch, for 8 years of this shit. Can you believe it? 8 years! It's been 80... Nah, I haven't been 87. It's just been 8 years. And it's been pretty cool. I'm doing some just relaxed, kind of chill stuff this week. Maybe some sweaty stuff. I don't know. Just gonna do gaming shit. So go check out twitch.tv/linkib. That's good. And thanks for all the support over on Patreon. I appreciate you guys. And thank you for telling people about the Patreon, sending emails and jazz. It's actually been really cool to catch some of you guys' emails over the last year or two. Coming up on a 2-year anniversary for this stream of this in the fall. I mean, for this podcast in the fall. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, I always welcome emails, comments, questions, whatever you got, send them to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Free to follow, and only $3 if you want to get bonus stuff. That easy. And I actually do have some Dream Theater episodes coming up, and do another round of my weird dreams and whatnot, as well as some movie reviews, movies and TV and stuff like that, that I think you might enjoy. And I'm going to try to keep them as spoiler-free as possible. So go over to Patreon, check those out. Like I said, more focused kind of stuff there. So it's more niche content, but I think you'll like it. I'm actually going to start this stream off with the thing that I forgot. I've been doing it intermittently, and I need to get more diligent about it. And like I said, if you got questions, comments, you maybe want to suggest a Spanish and Korean word for the week, hit me up on Patreon or on Blue Sky. You know, all the links for all the social stuff are in the description of the podcast. I even put them on a link tree in there, so it's nice and easy to find. That should hopefully make things a little bit smoother for you guys. We're going to start off with the Spanish and Korean word for the week, and that is grandfather or granddad. Sometimes certain languages, and I know this from Spanish mostly, have like a little suffix that they add to a word that changes it and makes it more less of an honorific and more of a, what's the word? Like maybe like a colloquialism or just like a kind of almost like a pet name or something. Something that's a little bit more affectionate, a little bit more familiar, if you will, right? So that's what happens with the word grandfather in Spanish. So the actual Spanish word for grandfather is abuelo. But sometimes you can add abuelito, you add the ito to the end of it. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like more cutesy kind of a, like term of affection. Like you'd say that to like you, if you're describing someone's grandfather, you'd probably use more the abuelo. But if you're talking about your grandfather, maybe you would say abuelito. Someone who's dear to your heart, closer to your heart. It's a little bit more familiar. It's a little softer. A little bit more whimsy added to it. Now, I did not see anything about this in Korean, but I'm not a native Korean speaker, so I wouldn't fucking know. But the word in Korean is hal abioji. Sorry, I stumbled on my, I bit my tongue a little bit. Hal abioji. And it was like the guy who's saying it, he's a hal abioji. It's like a D to it instead of hal. It's like hal abioji. And I'm like, okay. I'm trying to listen to him and I'm listening, and my brain's cranking. Halabioji. And I'm like, all right. So then I heard it on a TV show or something, and they were referring to someone's grandfather. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to listen to more of what, you know, when you're trying to learn a language, having someone speak it to you in a very clinical manner for, like, you know, learning purposes, there's some benefit to that, right? So you can learn a more technical pronunciation, but it ends up coming off very strict and, I guess, sterile. There's no feel, there's no life to it. So I like to listen to, when I have a word that I'm curious about, I try to listen for it in like a show or a movie, because it's more the way regular people talk day to day. You know what I mean? This is like if you're just reading it off of like reading off of a page or whatever, if you're reading like a textbook. But try to add some warmth to the language to make it a little bit more fun and nuanced. So that's the Spanish and Korean word for the week is grandfather, abuelo or abuelito, and then halayoji for Korean. Thank you guys. Again, this is I'm having fun doing this. So if you come up with some other words or ideas, maybe phrases you think I could learn or you want to share, hit me in the social medias or send me an email. That's the best way to do it. Oh, so that was cool. I popped up real quick for a second. You guys wouldn't notice it. Thanks to the magic of the pause button. But I noticed that the little crows that I feed outside were popping over. They're like, hey, man, what's up with the food? Usually I throw like some, I have like a little bag of birdseed, like a little container of birdseed right by the front door. It's kind of innocuous. If you're not looking at it, you won't notice it's really there. But I put it there at the front door because I throw it out into the yard for the crows. I was putting it in the yard for a while. And then like, I think the one brand that I got had like grub worms in it. And I mean, they're dead, of course. You know, they're like freeze dried grub worms for like for the birds and stuff. But I think what was happening is because they were on the surface and possums are dumb and so are armadillos. I think they thought that they were more underground, so they started digging in the yard. And they stopped after a while when they realized there were no grubs. But yeah, they were digging up the front yard in the backyard too. Because I throw some in the backyard occasionally. They were digging up the fucking yard because they thought there were more grubs underground. Like, if there's anything living under there that's like that, it deserves to live there because we get the yard treated for, you know, insects and shit like that. But yeah, yeah. So I paused to go and feed them because I noticed they're hopping around outside. And of course, when I come out, they take off. They don't know me like that yet. I think they just know that this is where they can get seeds. So they stop by. Crows are super smart. And like everybody knows that, you know, social media has done a great job of that. But I think people over the years have always known that crows and ravens, corvids in general, are just smart ass birds. And it's just been like one of those things. I've always thought it'd be cool to have like a pet crow or a pet raven. Birds freak me out in general. I don't trust birds. I think they're also mostly jerks. I think that's why God made them delicious. So when you batter and fry them, they're awesome. But corvids are probably like the one exception of like a bird that I truly like and respect. Like, I mean, I respect all the animals, right? But like, if I had to pick a pet, like if I was like, you have to have a bird as a pet, I'm like, give me a crow, give me a raven. You know what I mean? Something in that corvid family, something that's smart, something that, you know, can like handle itself, but isn't going to be like super aggressive and mean or whatever. I don't know. Just, you know, spitballing ideas here. You know, these are all flights of fancy anyway, right? I had a friend once a long time ago who was vegan and tried to convince me that, you know, if you understood how smart animals were, particularly the ones that we use for food, you know, as humans, like if you understood how smart they were and how, you know, compassionate they can be, you'd be less likely to eat them. I made her a promise that day. I said, I will never eat anything that can outrun a bullet. I won't. But yeah, I that'd be one of those things. That'd be one of those birds or whatever. That'd be one of those animals that I would like, maybe I'd develop some kind of affinity for it. I'd be like, oh, I couldn't eat that because I would imagine myself having it as a pet. I'd be like, nah, son, chop. You know what I mean? I'd grab a, it's munch time. You know what I mean? There's fried chicken 30 around this mug. That's one of the reasons why I guess it's probably a good thing I never grew up on a farm. Because if we had had like a farm and, you know, I had to raise like a pet and I'm like, oh, you don't get too attached. We gonna eat this one come winter. I'm like, oh no. That had to be rough for the kids I knew that were like lived in more rural towns and stuff like that. And they had like, you know, pigs and goats and, you know, sheep and maybe even cows. I've been in a lot of places where that was the case. You know what I mean? North Carolina, Alabama. Florida too, yeah. But like, you know, people have like basically like barnyard animals that would be meat for any other purpose. And then like they'd be getting a little lean on the plate one day. And dad is like, yo, so Penelope Pig had to go to that big old pigsty in the sky. Eat your bacon and stop crying. That'd be rough. That'd be real tough as a kid to deal with that. Oh, man. I don't know. I think about it now. Like, is there any animal that I really wouldn't eat? And I don't think there is. There might be animals that I wouldn't want to eat because I'd know what they look like. You know, I think there's this thing called, like, it's the mung fish. And I don't know how to explain it. It's horribly ugly. It looks like a melted face. It looks like somebody melted a human face and slapped it on a fish. God, I can't remember the name of this damn fish. There's also one like, oh my gosh. The sunfish, I think it is. That just looks stupid. I would not eat it. But it just looks dumb. Yeah, anglerfish. The blob sculpin, that's what it's called. Ugh, God. Trust me, when I tell you it just looks like somebody melted a human face onto a fish, don't look it up. It's horrifyingly ugly. But you definitely wouldn't want to eat it if you had to look at it first. Like, if I had no idea, I mean, they might be like, yeah, like, what is it? Sam Jackson says, sewer rat may taste like pumpkin pie, but I'd never know because I wouldn't eat the filthy muff. That's kind of how I feel about this, too. It's like, it might be the most amazing fish I've ever had in my life, but I'll never know because I'll never get close enough to it to eat it. Just because it's so freaking horribly ugly. Like, I know you should say that, right? Like all God's creatures are beautiful. Really? I think maybe he was kind of nodding off when he made that guy. It's like, yo. You know, that's why he said, like, on the seventh day he rested. Like, this fish was Saturday afternoon work. Buffer had to come in on the weekend to make that fish. He's like, ah, shit. I still need more fish to put in here. There's that. There's an angler fish. You know what I mean? A pangolin, sure. Let's make an anteater with scales on it. Why the fuck not? We're doing fish anyway. Throw that in there. You know, I'm taking a nap. It's Sunday. I'm out. I would imagine that was how it went. That'd be hilarious if, like, all the wonderful and beautiful things that we appreciate and accept throughout nature were, like, all the stuff he was doing at the beginning of the week. But you know how it is. You get close to the weekend and you're like, man, fuck this job. What if that's, like, what he did with creation? He was just like, I'm fucking done, son. I'm not making no new shit. What is all this ugly? What are they looking to bin for, like, tossed out ideas? Like, he had a bunch of things in a hat, and he just, like, got to the bottom of the barrel and was like, yeah, sure, fine. Why not these two? That's where, like, the blob sculpin came along. He's like, oh, God, I was going to make a person, and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I put a person's face on a fish? You know what? Screw it. Try it. Let's see what happens. It's like, damn. Yeah, blob sculpin seems like a I got called in on Saturday kind of thing. Anyway, that's just me rambling. I don't know how I even got on fish. That was not part of the stuff I wanted to talk about at all today, but it just got in there. So hooray for you. You guys lucked out. I know the one thing I'm going to talk about is the one thing I told everybody I was going to talk about, but I'll get to that later. I know you guys heard me bitch a lot about Xbox and how they're making some stupid ass moves. They made a bunch of stupid moves over the last year in particular. And I think that, you know, we've seen some new stuff. I've mentioned it last week. Like, Asha Sharma is talking about, like, reducing the price of Game Pass Ultimate. These are some steps back in the right direction, but I'm worried the less I hear about Project Helix, about what they think they're going to do with Project Helix. Because we've seen that they dropped the Xbox initiative. You know what I mean? This is an Xbox. Everything's an Xbox. Well, if everything's an Xbox, then nothing is an Xbox. You know what I mean? And they scrapped that real quick because I think they were trying too much for not enough of a market share or mind share. You know what I mean? Like, I want to play games using my TV. I don't want to play games on my TV. It's like the same kind of thing. Like, I don't go to Netflix to play fucking Match 3 games. But it's shoehorned into the mobile app. It's shoehorned into the, you know, into Netflix just as in general. Wherever you get Netflix, it's there. You want to play some games? No, fool, I'm here for movies and TV shows. Stop. I mean, why is everybody trying to do too much and not enough of it right? You know what I mean? So, I mean, I get the Xbox thing. I get that she's trying to walk some of this stuff back. Like, you guys are making really bad decisions. Let's try to make some better ones at least. I'm not saying they're going to be good, but they'll be better than the shit you guys have been doing. I think one thing that could go, Match 3 games, we could do away with them probably forever. And the only reason I say that is because, one, The match three game is basically a time sink. I know it, you know it, we all know it. We all fall for it, right? Like Candy Crush, Bejeweled, all that shit. You know, the worst part about the match three game is you can never really win. You know what I mean? Candy Crush puts you into like a bunch of different levels, and there's supposedly like an overarching story through the whole thing, right? Or there's challenges to try to beat, you know, X, Y, and Z thing. That adds a little bit of a layer of longevity to it. But ultimately, you don't win match three games, especially something like Bejeweled, where the levels get progressively more difficult as they add blockers or items that like don't quite fit the overall pattern and theme of the game, right? If anything, what that game could have done would have been to introduce something like Candy Crush, where like maybe there's like an actual power-up item that you could purchase or you could earn in the game. So when things get insurmountable, you could be like, here, just take one of these, ba-yah, and keep playing. I mean, I could see that as like a microtransaction that would happen, but I would prefer it if they just were like, yeah, every now and again, if you do enough of these, you get like one super mega wipe the screen clean kind of thing, and that'll call it, you can call that one a game. You know? Or like, you know, maybe knock out like three rows at once. Something. Give us something. But I mean, you want to make some moves, and Asha Sharma might never hear this, get rid of those match three games, especially Jeweled or whatever it is, Jewel 2. Take that out of the Xbox ecosystem. I want to, if you're going to put a game in there for us to earn points through Game Pass or whatever the hell it is, through rewards, something a little bit more rewarding and more fun to play than that. Put Gears Pop in there, for fuck's sake. You guys own that. Gears Pop was actually an interesting game. I would definitely go back and play Gears Pop. What happened to Gears Pop, actually? I think I had that when I had my, oh, gosh, what was that? Man, that would have been years ago. I mean, it was like when I got my first Samsung Galaxy phone, I think. I was also playing a bunch of, like, mobile games when I was, like, on my way to work. You know what I mean? I was kind of passenger princessing it there for a while. I didn't have an ID. I didn't have a driver's license. My buddy was driving us to work. So like when he was driving, I'd either check the map or I'd be playing, you know, whatever on my phone. I think it was Brave Frontier and Gears Pop were like the two games I did. So funny that how that just kind of popped back into my head. I don't think I thought about that game in a long time. Gears Pop especially. I haven't thought about that in years. I don't know what the fuck that was. Maybe it's me trying to block out all the crazy that's happening in the world. You know what I mean? And that's why one of the things I'm thinking of is that, like, there's so much ridiculousness in the world. We'll get to it because I have opinions, obviously. But, like, you got to make some time to laugh, dude. I was just talking to somebody recently and they were like, I feel bad for doing this, that, and the other. I'm like, I know the feeling. I do it to myself all the time. Like, a lot of times I won't play games if I'm not streaming because I feel like if I'm not streaming, then why should I be playing video games? You know what I mean? Like, but you're allowed to have fun, right? Because otherwise, what the hell are we, you know, what the hell are we doing here? I mentioned it to somebody the other day. I was talking about that scene from Armageddon where, like, Ben Affleck is, like, doing the little thing on Liv Tyler's stomach with the animal crackers. And she asks him, like, do you think that there's somebody out there in the world doing what we're doing at this exact moment? And he goes, I sure hope so. Otherwise, what are we fighting for? I'm like, yeah. Like, what's the point of life if you're not going to live it? You know, have some fun. Do something a little, you don't have to go insane. I'm not saying like going, I'm not saying you got to risk your life or anything like that, but you can enjoy it. You know what I mean? You know, shit, every now and again, have the cookie. You know, take a day, shit, and just do nothing but just watch a bunch of random shit on your Netflix queue just to do it. Even if it's terrible, you know, grab a book, go outside and just sit under a tree and just do nothing. Listen to some music. Or just listen to like the wind blowing through the leaves. That's a fun thing to do. And it doesn't cost you nothing. You get a nice breezy day. Put your toes in the water. Shit, why not? Like, what's the point of, like I said, what's the point of living life if you're not going to have a little bit of joy to it? It's not wall-to-wall shit. It sounds like it sometimes from the podcast and from the news media and social media and just every day. Everything. But, you know, it's not. It's not. You know what I mean? There's plenty of stuff to be excited about and plenty of joy to be found in this world. You wouldn't know it to look at DC, but yeah, there's good stuff happening out there. I know we're going to talk about the biggest elephant in the room in a minute, but I'm looking at all these people like resigning or getting fired. It's like rats fleeing a sinking ship. You know, J.D. Vance is like, I think they really want to get him in there because I think they're tired of like the reckless and wanton destruction that Donald Trump, the toddler president, does. I've mentioned it before, like how he just runs through the room like an angry toddler, just smashing shit and leaving terror and destruction in his wake. That's not a joke. We're all watching it happen. So it's like, what the fuck? I think that one of the reasons why they're like kind of not, they don't really want J.D. Vance, but they'll take him because at least he's manageable over Trump and whatever he's concocted and screwed up with MAGA. And I mean screwed up as in like turned up the pressure on. Like he's really ratcheted up the worst kinds of people in the world. And yeah, it's insane. I think that that's one of the reasons why when that assassination attempt, I'm putting air quotes up that you can't see, took place, they rushed J.D. Vance out first. They left President Kankle sitting there, just kind of that, you know, that fucking sun-dried turtle look that he always has on his face when he doesn't know exactly what's happening. And the lips are all kind of like pouty puckered out. And they're like, get him. He's like, oh, it's time to pretend like I'm scared for my life. Oh, God. Oh my gosh. Do my Mark Robinson impression. Oh, my gosh. That's another toad we could do without. You guys remember him, right? The guy who called himself a black Nazi and was looking at, like, you know, African porn sites, but he was in the middle of doing, you know, his little spank sessions. He was also talking mad shit about, like, mad racist shit and, political shit. Like, seriously, towing the MAGA line while you're on the orange YouTube is a wild choice. It's one of those spaces where it's, like, of all the professions where you could choose to be MAGA, or all the places where you could choose to be MAGA and put that out there. Here, man, we all trying to bust one. Like, what is wrong with you? That guy's super weird. They're all super weird, but he's one of the weirdest. Black MAGA in general is weird as fuck to me. I don't get it. Anyway, yeah, I can talk about that all day long. I mean, what, we had the Secretary of the Navy resign, John Phelan. One of the things I heard was that, like, there's some rumor about like him not constructing enough warships for some weird initiative that Trump wanted to push, like the Golden Navy or whatever. I swear it's something like that. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something along those lines, like the Golden Navy, like something out of a fucking young adult fiction novel. Also, they said he butted heads with like Pete Hegseth and the number two dude over at the Pentagon, Steven Feinberg. So I guess if you're not trying to listen to what Trump says, you got to go. And that makes me think about what we said a while back. And somebody else had mentioned it before me, like out loud, but I was thinking the same thing. Pam Bondi bent over backwards to lick Trump's butthole for anything he wanted done. And then he got rid of her, partly because of her stupid fumbling around the Dow's over 50,000 kind of mess when she was in front of that congressional committee. But that doesn't seem like, I mean, there's enough stupid running around that administration. It'd be hard to nail somebody for that one thing, especially somebody who's constantly towing the line for you. So what wasn't she willing to do that he was like, fine, you got to go then? And will we ever find out? I don't want us to find out. Because the way it seems like it would happen is that somebody else will get in there and will do the horrible thing. And we'll be like, oh, that's what Pam Bondi wasn't willing to do. Of all the shit she was willing to do, she wasn't going to do that. Like, she meatloafed this shit. I would do anything for Trump, but I won't do that. That had to be what she was singing on the way out. Oh, God. It would be funnier if it wasn't so damn sad and destructive. I just don't understand it. And then also, was it the labor secretary, Lori Chavez de Remer? She is a monster, too. There's rumors of her, one, having an affair with her staffer. And then, it must be something about working in close proximity with Trump and MAGA That makes just people want to drink and do drugs. And then also, they, I mean, I'm sure they just want to be wild anyway. But people like, man, I can't get off work fast enough to get a drink. I got to start drinking at work just to get through each day. It's a nightmare over there. But yeah, apparently she was drinking on the job and banging one of her staffers. So that they're like, she got to go. The Party of Family Values, who has no problem with their thrice married president. Well, I think thrice divorced, actually. One of whom we don't know that he did something to, but we got some ideas. And, you know, all the kid touching and Epstein Island and all that jazz. Yeah. But yeah, no, she can't have her little dalliance with her staffer. Can't forgive that. How dare. Meanwhile, Cash Patel over here smell like Boone's Farm every day. That dude's literally, they got to catch that dude with his finger in like a toddler before they get rid of him. I don't know what it is about him that makes him so bulletproof. Maybe it's because he's head of the FBI and he's gotten his hands on some real juicy shit. They're like, well, we can let him be a little buffoon for a little while longer, but I don't know how much more of this shit we could stand. He's like, I've got this dynamite right here. You know what I mean? He's like, he walks in when he's wearing a fucking C4 vest. Like, they're not going to touch him, because if his hand comes off the kill switch, everybody goes up. I think that's what it is. I think he's got... I mean, if you're going to do it, right, that'd be the way to do it. They say Tulsi Gabbard might be next. I don't think so. People in those kind of intelligence agencies with that much access to secretive information, I don't think you just get rid of them on a whim. You know what I mean? You got to have a real good reason to put somebody out to pasture in that kind of job. Because they have the potential to firebomb the entire set. And you don't want to mess with that too much. But I do think they're trying to get rid of Trump, though. I think that I've been thinking that for a while. I think part of it is like he's just not really hitting all the markers for them. And they're like, you know, people thought he was going to do more shit that wasn't going to fuck them over. And they didn't listen when everybody told him, yeah, he doesn't care about anybody but himself. He's going to get you too. Not me. I'm MAGA. I'm making that voice basically because that's what I hear when I walk around down here in the South. I'm sure it sounds different where you are too. If you're up there in North, they're not going to do shit to me. I'm MAGA, son. Yeah. Okay. Keep thinking that way. Real smart. But yeah, I like a lot of people, and this is one of the reasons, I mean, literally heard this on CNN the other day. Let's see if I can remember exactly who it was. I'm not going to remember. I'm going to just pull it up. So Sarah Sidner is one of the anchors for CNN, also in air quotes. Allegedly, she's good at their job. I wouldn't know. I've watched her be kind of milquetoast for most of the time. But yeah, she decided to come out of the side of her face and like prop up this idea about, you know, social media being the problem. Right after, you know, we've watched, we've literally watched the press releases from the White House Correspondents' Dinner showing the videos of people who were at the White House Correspondents' Dinner during the attack, as it were. But then is this dude, Eugene Vindman. Remember his name. Allegedly, he's a Democrat from Virginia. Just called for, he literally on CNN, Sarah Sidner was like, you know, talking about like, well, we have all this, you know, vitriol that's coming out. People are saying that this was a staged attack. What do you have to say in response to this, you know, wild proliferation of social media, and other independent video sources that are saying that this was probably some kind of sham or hoax perpetrated by the White House? I'm like, bitch, you work for CNN, report the news. Don't report your own little weird theories. Because then this fool goes, yeah, we need more federal regulation of social media. Infringement on First Amendment speech. It's not about what you say. It's about whether or not you say the things I like. I don't know who didn't get that memo, but a lot of people didn't, apparently. This fool called for that, like, openly on CNN. He's not the only one. He's not the only one. There's just recently, who was it? Some bubblehead here. I can't remember her name. Debbie Dingell. There it is. Debbie Dingell goes on and says, like, you know, a lot of the current drama that's happening and the political violence that's happening is because of the wild allegations that are being made via your social media. No. We just see this guy and his fucking handful of crony dumbasses are the problem. So we don't like them. We won't like you either for saying this stupid shit. And I think, like I said, they probably do want to get rid of Trump. I don't think they really want to do an assassination attempt. But I mean, I think maybe if this kind of stage shit happens, which I truly do think there's some foolery going on. And it's the capture of the suspect way too clean. The weird ability for this dude to basically predict the future, to know that Trump was going to be there before Trump was ever even deciding he was going to be there. Getting a hotel room with just a couple weeks notice is also pretty decent. You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty big tell. He's like, I'm just going to get a hotel room, be out there for 3 days. Who knows what I'll do? And he happened to be at the exact hotel. This is the other thing, too, is crazy. Why would you get a room at the exact same hotel where you're going to do the crime at? What part of the game is that? This dude never see a spy movie at all? Dude, you rent an Airbnb. You know what I mean? You find somebody on Craigslist that's willing to rent out their room for the weekend. You do it like that. You don't put your credit card down for a room at the fucking, you know, Ramada or Hilton or whatever the fuck it was they had that. Are you insane? You'd have to be. But you'd have to be a special kind of stupid to stay right there, do the crime, and what, you're going to go back up for room service later? It's too much stuff that just doesn't seem to add up. We're not even going to talk about, like, how he didn't. Nobody looked surprised. Nobody looked like they were shocked at all. The only time people started reacting, really, was when the Secret Service buffoons jumped in there. Did you see the dude who slid across the table? He got halfway across the table. Skidded to a stock. He couldn't get his fucking other leg up. These are I got the best people. I got the best people. You mean G.I. Sloppy Joe, who couldn't even lift his left leg up, his right leg up high enough to get it onto the table? Sure. Good job, buddy. You're lucky you didn't have to actually catch a real bullet. They're also saying that the one police officer who was shot was actually shot by one of the other Secret Service people. Like, they're Keystone copping it back there, just all Benny Hill and shit, shooting each other, missing this dude. Not a scratch on him. Didn't even break a sweat. Homeboy sprinted past security like he was playing tag. And the one dude, this is how good their security is, watch the video they show the suspect running into the ballroom. One of the Secret Service agents ducks out of the way. Your job is to jump in front of danger for the president. And even that guy was like, fuck that. And then they had the same buffoon agents. That was funny. The same, they're making fun of this one lady because she seems kind of haphazard and totally out of place. Like, she always looks lost. Like, she knows that that's the job she's there for. Like, it's, you know what it feels like? Every time you see her and some weird shit like this happens, she reminds me of that show Quantum Leap, you know, where Sam just, like, somebody jumped into her body and they're like, oh, brother, you know, like, I have no idea what's happening or what I'm doing. For some reason, I have a gun and a badge and I'm wearing a suit. Is this another Trump assassination plot? Not again. You've got to see the videos and see the look on her face. It looks like she just woke up. Anytime something goes down, it looks like she just woke up from like a bad dream into another bad dream. She's like, huh? The look is priceless, dude. You got to check it out. It's pretty priceless. But yeah, I don't know. And I love the fact that they're lying and saying that, like, oh, the Democrats are to blame for all this. You guys have everything. You run both sides pretty much of the Congress. You got the White House and the administration stacked there. You got a stack in the Supreme Court. Who's if y'all losing, who's winning? You know what I mean? I know you're on bullshit. You could just say we're fucking up. Stop trying to blame Biden. Stop trying to blame Democrats. It's not Democrats, not independents. It's not, you know, non-MAGA Republicans, you know, more liberal-leaning or, you know, moderate Republicans. It's you guys. You guys are screwing up. Just admit it. Own it. I don't get that. It's so stupid. I mean, I've watched the videos so many times right now. I'm like, I feel like I was almost there. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this. All I know is it's another spin. That's all I know. I know that. That's another spin. They're not really worried. The real chill pressure they gave, like a little while after the whole incident, everybody's kind of like smiling like, hey, they did it, guys. You know, there's not like this, oh my God, I'm alive. Like you were never in any real danger and you knew it. Yeah. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist in that regard, but I think that there's enough, even you could say circumstantial evidence, but there's enough lines that don't connect to dots that there's no way you can look at that and be 100% solid that this is the real truth that they're spinning, that they're selling us. I can't trust that, mostly because they lie so much and so freely that it's hard to trust anything that this administration or its flunkies will say. But just looking at it from the outside, like literally from the outside and from like an elevated view, trying to give this thing like a wider scope, there's too much stuff that doesn't make sense. There's too much stuff that is also oddly coincidental. You just had your plans to get your ballroom shut down in the interest of, it's not really a national security kind of thing. And then, so what do? You cook up an assassination attempt. So you're like, this is why we need a ballroom. Literally the narrative that came out within minutes of the attempted shooting. Yeah, people all over here, this is why we need a ballroom. Build a ballroom. Build a ballroom. Why? So you can have your fucking weird-ass furry dog parties there? Fuck out of here. Miss me all the way with that shit. Anyway. Also, the thing about the scientists being killed, like it's like all these different people that are like disappeared or, you know, dead or whatever under weird circumstances. I think it's just people just dying. Like at first I was like, this seems a little weird. Then I saw something that was like kind of picking apart. Like these people didn't even know each other. Only a handful of these people worked for this government agency. Most of them were in completely unrelated fields to one another. It's just sometimes weird shit happens to people. And, you know, if you want to draw enough connections between something, you probably can. Like, but there really was, it was really wafer thin. It's just weird that it was a lot of science dudes. Now, if they were all in one particular industry, or if they all worked for a particular company, or a particular government agency, or affiliated with a government project, that I could lean a little bit more into. I'm like, all right, you know, I mean, I've seen crime dramas on TV. I know how this kind of thing could work. So that would be a little suspicious and definitely something worth digging into, but I don't know if I'd go so far as to be like, yeah, they were part of some secret government experiment, man. I don't know. I just don't think these scientists are totally, I don't think it's like a nefarious kind of thing. I think sometimes shit happens to people and they just happen to be scientists this week. I'm pretty sure if we drew a connective line between a bunch of, you know, radiologists or something over the course of the last, you know, year or whatever, we'd be like, oh, look at that. A lot of people who work next to radioactive material are dying suddenly. No shit. Word? Like, what? Next thing you're going to tell me is people who eat bacon occasionally have heart attacks. Stop. All right. Not everything's a fucking conspiracy. Some things are, I'm sure. Now, one thing I really am sure about is this whole thing with Ford. Some of you don't remember this. Some of you may have heard this. A lot of you won't remember it because I didn't even know it happened. I just know that like over the last few years, with as much technology as we have become reliant upon or that we think that we need, it opens up the door for other companies to shoehorn more of it into our lives. Here's a real case in point. I don't know about you, But when I'm washing clothes, like I am today, I generally know that I put, like, you know, half of my wardrobe into the washing machine. So I don't need to be reminded by my television set or my phone that the washer is done or that the dryer's finished. I know the shit's in there. I'll get to it when I get to it. Little shit like that. It's just like, do I need this? Who is it helping? Because if you weren't going to get it when it was going off in the first place, you're not going to get it because the phone told you. I don't know how many times I've seen that shit happen. Oh, your alarm went off for that and it just gets ignored. I've seen people do that. I mean, people do that when they're supposed to go to work. They'd be like, fuck it, 5 more minutes. And then before you know it, they're half an hour late going out the door. That's just people. You know what I mean? Like, no amount of technology being shoved up your ass is going to make that different. Unless it actually gives you an electrical shock or something, you're going to still ignore the damn alarms. But yeah, the Ford Motor Company had decided that what they wanted to do, in a stroke of sheer stupidity, was to start plugging more cameras into their vehicles on the inside. So it's not enough that you have a backup camera, you got a go-forward camera, you got dash cams on top of other cams and side cams and, you know, cam girls in the back seat, whatever it is. You know, you got all cams. Now they're using a camera technology that is going to use facial recognition to determine whether or not you might be impaired. Not that you are, because there's no way to tell that. But kind of like how people used to have those, you know, breathalyzers installed in their cars and you had a DUI fuck up too many times. I knew a lady had one of these. She was such a drunk at times that she'd have to have somebody else blow into her thing so she'd go to work. I'm like, yo, if you're that drunk that you need somebody to blow into your thing so you can go to work, don't go to work. I don't want you around me when you, like, slammered, you know, slamambered, smashed. I don't know. I was trying to think of another word. I forgot what it was. And then I just came up with that. Yeah, if you're just completely sauced out, like, dude, just stay home. I've actually called in to work. Okay, I've done it before, too. It was like when I was, like, you know, you're in your early 20s. You get your first couple of, you know, shithole jobs, you know, working as a server. I'm like, yo, boss, I would love to come in, but we pushed it out a little too hard last night. I'm not going to make it. I'm hungover as fuck, and I'm going to be absolutely useless. To be honest, I'm halfway throwing up right now while I'm talking. They're like, oh, yep, don't come here. It's like, this isn't going to look good for you. I'm like, it doesn't feel good for me either. So we're all disappointed in me today. But at least I'm not going to come to work and be everyone's problem. I'm just going to be my own problem for now. There's a little bit of respectability about that. I'm not saying it was great, but it was definitely a thing that happened. But yeah, that's why the idea of being drunk while you're at work is crazy in general. But like, dude, like that lady, like we were talking about earlier. Was it Chavez Dreamer? Yeah, her. You work for the federal government and you drunk. Cash Patel, Pete Hegseth, just here while you're at work is wild business. That is insane. Like, I'm like, I get it if you're drunk or hungover at Burger King. You know what I mean? I can almost understand it if you're kind of drunk on a construction site. I'm like, it's hard labor, it's hot. You might want to have a beer or two at lunch. I'm not saying that you should. I'm saying I understand the concept. But you working for the federal government, my nigga? And you digging into the bourbon at 2 in the afternoon? Nah, son. With that kind of power and that kind of access, you should be able to just take a day. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, back to the cars. So yeah, these things will like detect whether or not your pupils are too wide or dilated or constricted or, you know, if you're not paying attention to the road, and it'll like take over and pull over your car and turn it off, or it won't let you start it at all. Now, part of this technology was also supposedly under the guise of providing safety, but they had made this car that people called the Ford Snitch Interceptor. It was Ford's really big jumping on the police thing. They backed the blue all the way through, and it's pretty sad to be that much of a bootlicking dick, but they want it. And so their idea was to kind of this is also for the safety of the passengers too. So if you have a suspect in your car, we have the cameras in there so that, you know, you can't just beat them up in the back seat with nobody watching, right? And they're like, yeah, we should be, but everybody should have this though. Because then if we have it, then people won't, you know, they won't be able to drive drunk. People will still find a way to drive drunk, my dog. Like, trust me, you're going to have somebody who's going to put, you know, disable the camera somehow, or they're going to put like, you know, like you do with your laptop, put a sticker over it and be like, fuck you for watching me. You don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Get out of my face. But what's most likely going to happen is since they pushed this and now there's a federal mandate coming up that all cars beyond 2027 are going to have this technology installed in, a lot of these cars are going to rot on the fucking lots. And I say good, you know? Technology is meant to make our lives better. It's meant to make difficult jobs easier. I don't remember the part where we're like, the best thing about technology is its ability to invade your privacy and feed information to government or federal government or other local government agencies or policing organizations. I don't remember that part being what technology was about. Not when I was coming up anyway. I'm sure things are different now. It's a new world, you know. Halabioji? Abuelo? Maybe it's because I'm just Grandpa Link over here. Just don't understand the world or anything like that. But some of this don't seem like just, you know, you're getting old. Some of this just seems like this is really fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Just willfully handing over this much power and, you know, control and personal agency and privacy just for the illusion of safety. It's not going to make things better. You know what I mean? You'll just find your least drunk friend to drive your ass home. And then you're still going to be in a shit sandwich. So what's the problem? Or you'll have people who will go and they'll get other cars that, you know, will let them drive. They'll do it just because, you know what I mean? I'll find a way around it just because that's what humankind tends to do. When it's presented with obstacles, they either find a way to, you know, bypass it or overcome it, generally speaking. So this is just going to be one more step between somebody else and their objective. They'll find a way around it. And then you'll just created more monsters. You haven't solved the problem. You just made things exponentially worse. I mean, would I like to be wrong about this? Sure. Do I think that I am? Not really. I don't. You know what I mean? I've been around long enough that I've seen enough humanity to know that humanity will, generally speaking, march towards its own destruction willfully. I mean, God, look at the federal government in general. Look at any government in general. Look at human society over the years. I'm trying to think of what movie it was. It's like you're programmed to destroy yourselves. You know what I mean? I think it's probably because life is finite and we know that it's going to end at some point. We're like, just do all the things. You don't have to do all the things, bro. Like some of them things you could leave undone. Trust me. It's probably better if you do. This is one of those things. I mean, I seriously don't like Ford for this kind of shit. And I hate the people who said this has got to happen. Those people need to come out of office. Fuck them, seriously. But don't buy no new cars. I'm telling people, like, if I ever get another vehicle, it's going to have to be pre-1990, pre-2000. Like, I don't want, at least the very earliest outtake is like a, you know, early 2000s model something. You know? Just because I don't want to be stuck with all this extra technology gumming up the works. God, if I could go back and find that old 84 Cadillac that I had, that would be rad. One, the thing was a boat. So you weren't hitting shit in this car and messing up nobody. It was like, I mean, the thing felt like it was made out of rolled steel. But also, I mean, the smoothest ride of any vehicle I've ever been in, bar none. Like, this thing rode over potholes like it was sliding over butter. It was an absolutely beautiful piece of machinery, and I miss it dearly. And I wish I could find one again. Just get it. I mean, especially as close to factory cherry as we could find. And then just, you know, style it up a little bit. You know, maybe some more modern interior fabric or detailing. you know, maybe like a little bit of a ground effects package or some, you know, under panel lighting in the interior. And at the very most, we're going to put in like a CD changer. You know what I mean? That's about the most of an upgrade we're going to give this bad boy. But yeah, to keep it as much as mint as you possibly can, as close to, you know, that factory condition as you can. It was just a badass machine. And that was like an 80, no, it was a 84, 88. It was 88. It was an 88. It's not super old. It's old enough to be technically considered a classic now, I think. I think the statute for that is like 20 or 30 years. It'd be, excuse me, it'd be old enough to be considered a classic. Just about. That'd be badass, though. And it would still turn on. This is another thing I was thinking about, too, when it came to this camera thing. What happens if you're being attacked and you're running to your car to try to escape and it sees the panic in your eyes and interprets that as you being unstable and unable to drive? You could be as sober as a priest, but because you're pumping adrenaline, your eyes are all wild and shit. And it goes, you don't seem like you're in good enough condition to drive, and it won't start. Now you're dead. Or you're the victim of a sexual assault or something like that. I mean, think about the amount of people who could be endangered by this. And then the other thing, facial recognition software is notoriously bad at detecting, you know, the faces of people of color. So you can wipe out a good chunk of your market base right there. This car, only white people would be buying Fords if that's the way it goes. We've seen evidence in the past of how facial recognition gets things wrong, particularly when it comes to men of color, because they're usually the suspect of crimes or whatever. But there's been more than a handful of times where like a black dude got arrested for some shit he had no business being touched for because he was nowhere even near the vicinity. But the facial recognition software said, it's him. Oh, what you saying? We all look the same right now? You're going to put that technology in the cars? Get the fuck out of here. It's a strange, strange, strange world, my friends. It's not all bad, though. You know what I mean? Like I said, you got to make some time for joy. Which, speaking of, boy, I got to check out Sisu 2 Road to Revenge last night with my homie. And that movie is awesome. Now, it's not, in my personal estimation, as good as the original Sisu. But it is actually a really fun piece of just action eye candy. It's the one thing I will say, though, it's over the top with the gore. Even for someone who's not normally squeamish about that kind of stuff, I was like, this seems excessive. You know what I mean? Like, the first one was definitely, there were some shocking, violent things that happened. This one seemed a little over the top. And I'm like, okay, we're getting a little carried away with this idea here. But it didn't make it not fun. You know what I mean? It was still ridiculous and weird and a fun, good time. The original still, I mean, in terms of storytelling and just pacing and action, it just felt like it was a little bit more complete. It seemed like they skipped a couple of steps when they were making this second one. I'm not sure how, though. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain things that didn't seem like there was a narrative through line that you could see. You know, like I said, those dots weren't connecting quite so hot. And I was just like, you know, it's an action movie. You read too much into it, you're not going to enjoy it. Just whatever. It's crazy. It's definitely a thrill ride. And you're definitely going to have some moments you're like, come on, dude. But you got to remember, it's all fiction. It's all a fantasy. It's still ridiculous and fun. Another one that I saw, I'm going to dig into this one probably on the Patreon, was Begonia. I'm not going to mention more than just the bare bones of it here. I'll dig into a little bit more on the Patreon, but Begonia is another one that's on Netflix right now. And if you didn't get to see it in theaters, like I did not, I hate it for you because I'm sure that the cinematic experience is even more enjoyable. But wow. Talk about an unexpected piece of cinema. It's a very bizarre premise. It's a very eclectic cast. But it tells a very interesting and compelling story without having to rely on a lot of trickery. You know what I mean? It's just written well. And because it's written well and performed brilliantly, it stands very solidly on its own. I would probably put this as like an 8.5, 8.75 as far out of 10, as far as a score. Only really losing some minor marks just for, I mean, some of the pacing was a little stagnant, but not so much so that it was killing the film. It just felt like there are some moments that could have been truncated or weren't drawn out quite enough to build enough tension. But that's just me being kind of like a little film snob. That doesn't mean the movie wasn't amazing. And I think everybody should watch it. You absolutely should. Just know that it, again, it's a very dark kind of film. They list it as a comedy. You're not going to really be ha-ha and then key-key and in the theater or in your seats at home while you're watching this. It's not that kind of funny. You know what I mean? It's more like an irony kind of thing. But yeah, I would say give that a watch. It's a good time. And drink some water. God, I left my water in my office last night. And I need to get a new lid for this thing. I'm going to have to look up this company. It's called Aikiko. A-I-K-I-C-O. I dropped this damn thing so many times. There's a bulge in the bottom for where I dropped it before. Not crazy, but it's noticeable. And it's like dented. And then there's the dent in the top. And then seriously, I dropped it. Mine and my wife's, I dropped them while I was refilling them. Dented them with the exact same way. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm magic. But they're both dented in the exact same way. I want to get a new one. But this one seems to be working fine. But anyway, I was thinking about this drinking water. Y'all ever get this thing? I don't like water to be super cold, but I do need it to be cold when I'm thirsty. Drinking room temperature water makes me want to gag. You know what I mean? I know they say it's better for you and all that shit, blah, 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 whatever. I need it to be at least, you know, 40 degrees. Ah, that's good H2O. That's some high quality H2O. But yeah, I left it in my office, and I think I left the top open, or it's because I had trimmed some of the rubber off of it because it looked like it was like corroding or whatever after multiple washes. I just chopped a little bit of off the razor blade, and I think it's a little too short and it don't really close all the way, so let some of the penguins out. So my water was nice and warm this morning. I went to go and grab a sip of it, and I'm like, It's just like that video of the kid who tries to drink an egg and it pops right back up. He barfs it right back up. Oh my God. I was talking about that the other day. I played it from my... I'll have to link it in the podcast description today. But it's set to this song, Hey Julie. And I'm like, oh my God. Every time I see that video, I can watch it for like... I have to make myself turn it off. I laughed myself once almost to unconsciousness. I was wheezing. My back hurt. My throat was sore. I don't know what it is about this video because it's not overtly gross. It's funnier more than anything else. And it's literally the timing of the person who put it to music. Their timing is impeccable. And when you watch it, it's a little gross, but it's still more hilarious than anything else. And I had kittens laughing at this video. So that's going to be a fun little thing for you to check out later. In the meantime, in between time, thank you all for listening. This has been another episode of the Wandering One podcast. You survived. And yeah, what happened to last week's podcast? It's weird. The numbers dropped real bad. I think it's because of the thumbnail. And it was really only put up there because I tried to edit it and it wasn't working well. I'm like, screw it. We'll put this up there and see what happens. I think it killed the podcast numbers. I was making fun of the guys, the MAGA guys who got scammed by AI. That's what that picture is the AI girl that these guys are giving thousands of dollars to for feet pics, AI feet pics. So if you didn't catch last week's episode because you thought I was shitting on Democrats, that wasn't the case. I mean, there's plenty that they do wrong, but I mean, for all that, that wasn't the point. And if you didn't let the thumbnail turn you off, go back and listen to it, please. It's actually a decent episode. I'm not just saying that. But I'm going to get up out of here. It's getting close to, it's a little after lunchtime. I need to eat something before I start streaming today. Stream anniversary week. So if you get a chance to pop by either tonight, this afternoon, evening, hopefully you catch this in time, or, you know, Friday or Saturday, depending on how things go, we'll have that settled. We'll have the internet thing settled hopefully by Friday. That's the goal anyway. They're supposed to come on Friday, so it might be a little bit later for the stream on Friday. It just depends on when they get all the stuff buttoned up and put together. But yeah, the podcast should be on time for next week too. And I'm gonna see if I can put out some bonus stuff this weekend. I've got like at least one, like I said, the media episode with all the movie reviews and news. Yeah, probably drop that one this weekend for the Patreon exclusives. And actually, no, maybe that'll just be a free Patreon for everybody. That sounds like a good one. Why shouldn't everybody get to listen to that? Shit, yeah, let's do that. I'm talking myself into and out of stuff. I gotta get out of here. This is what happens when you don't have breakfast. I need to start making sure I eat breakfast more often. I was getting better about it, and then I got worse. And the real problem is I can't eat eggs. I want scrambled eggs again. Make America eggs again. I want some scrambled. Make me be able to eat eggs again. If you know of a therapy, let me do that. I just want to be able to eat regular eggs, dairy, and bread. Just go back to eating that shit again. Somebody can put me on a genomic therapy for that. I'll love them. Anyway, I'm rambling. I got to get out of here. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you. Catch you guys next week. Don't forget to wear sunscreen and drink water. It's getting hot out there. You're going to get sick if you don't. Call your loved ones. Say hello to them at least once a week. And I'll catch you guys on the flip side a little further on down the road. Peace.